Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you on the afternoon drives, and it is President's Day. And typically on the holidays, we always take out the time to go back and revisit a couple of recent segments that I personally have really enjoyed. And with the Daytona 500 right around the corner today on this holiday best of edition of the show, we're going to talk a little NASCAR. We were joined by Mike Bagley, host of NASCAR Live, which airs every Tuesday here on KOAL. We'll talk about the new NASCAR format. Also, we had Daniel Graham, former Patriots tight end. He joined us on the show to talk about his time in New England and talked about Super Bowl 51. Plus, we'll throw you some local flavor as well. Coach Brock Fawcett of the Carbon Dino Wrestling Team was recently a guest on the show. He joined us to talk about the end of the season. So that's what's ahead here on this special Monday President's Day edition of Drive Time Sports. We're back after this on 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
My diesel truck is just not running right. Where do I go to get this thing fixed?
Landon's Diesel is where I go. They know diesel motors.
Yeah, I know they're good with big diesel motors, but mine's a pickup truck.
What kind of motor's in it?
All right, I get it. They can take care of my diesel motor truck no matter the size. What about my motorhome?
Once again, what kind of motor is in it? I'm telling you, if it has a diesel motor in it, take it to Landon's Diesel. They'll fix it right.
Landon's Diesel Service is located by the Price City Domes in South Price.
Chicken is better when it's shared. It's a scientific fact, but don't look it up. So grab a few friends and get into KFC for their $20 fill-up. You'll get 8 pieces of their juicy chicken, original grilled or crispy, 3 large sides of your choice, and 4 flaky buttermilk biscuits, all for just $20. That's a delicious deal. While you're there, don't forget to grab a gallon of their famous root beer. With KFC, you get a complete home-cooked meal that you don't have to cook. Take the stress out of dinner tonight. KFC has got you covered.
Hi, this is Jesse from J&N Auto. People often ask what sets our dealership apart from the rest. It's our team's commitment to be the best dealership in the Castle Valley. We make sure our vehicles pass our strict 110-point inspections, have clean Carfaxes, and we warranty our vehicles even after the sale. We make car buying easy, fun, and affordable, so come see us today in Huntington or check out our website at jnautosales.com and see why my team at J&N Auto will make you a lifetime customer.
When your car sounds like this, and you trying to fix it sounds like this, you most definitely need some help. Head to J&D Automotive in Castledale. They're number one in parts and service. If you need a quick diagnosis, they got you covered. If you need an individual part, they got you covered. Or if the job is just too big and complicated for you to handle, they got you covered. J&D Automotive in Castledale and Green River.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM.
Hey, this is Eric Amarola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 7.50.
We're about a month away from the brand new NASCAR season. And of course, KOAL, an affiliate of the Motor Racing Network, also PRN, so we bring you every NASCAR race throughout the entire season. And yesterday, there was some big news coming out of NASCAR, a format change, which should really cater to the casual fan. The hardcore fan, you know, I think you're probably a little iffy on the change, which is natural. But joining us right now to talk a bit about that and some of the bigger storylines of the offseason and what the new year should hold for us, we have Mike Bagley. He is the host of NASCAR Live, which airs every Tuesday right here on KOAL, immediately following Drive Time Sports. He's also a booth and turn announcer for the Motor Racing Network. Mike, great to get you on today.
Thank you for having me. How are things out there in Utah?
Snowy and cold.
Well, I wish I shared that, but at the same time, I'm glad I don't. You guys hang in there. Summer's on the way.
Well, yes, summer's on the way. At least we hope. We know spring's around the corner, and whenever spring pops up, I mean, that's a good time because that means it's NASCAR season, Mike. We're about a month away from Daytona, so it is a good time, fun time to be involved with NASCAR, I'm sure.
It is, and of course, we have had some big announcements this week, mainly concerning format changes for our races. And it's been an exciting time. I'm in Charlotte right now. Had a chance to visit with the folks at NASCAR last night and outlined all the format changes and how we're going to adjust these races going forward. And it is a pretty exciting time to be involved with NASCAR right now.
Well, I'm sure with these new changes, and of course NASCAR, for those who are unaware, made the announcement of the format changes yesterday. I'm sure for you, someone who's involved as far as a turn and booth announcer, I mean, now every lap of every race is going to take on a different meaning. So it's almost like a race inside itself compared to what we've been used to, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Instead of running the scheduled distance without interruption, as far as the standard caution flags are concerned, they'll pop up. We're now going to have, basically, each race will have three stages. The first two stages will make up about half of the race, and then the last stage will make up virtually the last half. And inside of that, at the end of these stages, there's going to be points paid to the top 10 finishers. And then if you win a stage, you get a bonus point to be applied towards the playoff. Gone is the reference to the chase. It's now the playoff. So really what NASCAR did by breaking these races up into stages and also putting some points on the line, in theory, this should make these guys get up on the wheel just a little bit more and give us some more racing in the first half of the race than what we've seen in years past.
Mike, I was asked this yesterday by a listener, and I think it's a valid question. Over the last, five, 6 years now, we've seen some changes to the formats in NASCAR. How much of this can we contribute to the individual dominance of Jimmie Johnson over the past decade?
Absolutely none. None of this is geared by the successes of the 48 team and Jimmie Johnson. Some folks have asked me, well, how much does this have to do with Monster Energy coming in? And the answer to that question is none. What this is a manifestation of some research that the industry has done. A lot of it comes from fan feedback. Fans have told us that they want every lap to matter, they want every race to matter, and they also want to see drivers up on the wheel in the first part of the race and not just wait till the last part of the race to do it. So NASCAR did a lot of analysis, and they also did a lot of research within the industry with teams and drivers and fans and tracks and everybody. And this basically is what they've come up with, this three-stage format. You know, we've had several, you could say, formats over the years as far as the playoffs are concerned. This is the first time that I recall that we've had a land-sweeping change as far as the actual core of the race is concerned.
For someone who's a true NASCAR enthusiast as yourself, someone who, you know, you dedicate your life to covering the sport, are you okay with these changes? Do you think that it kind of messes with history looking back on the record books? I know if we talk basketball, football, baseball especially, you know, the record books are so valuable to the sport. Do you think that alters NASCAR at all?
I don't. You know, we all respect the legacy fan, the fan like me that's been around for 30, 40 years. But at the same time, we also have to focus on the casual fan. We also have to focus on the next generation of race fan. Where's that fan coming from? What does that fan want? And overall, you can look at NASCAR, you can look at the NFL, the NBA, you can look at a lot of sports, even including the NHL, where there are tweaks that are constantly going on to keep the attention of the viewer or the listener, depending on which medium it is that you're consuming the sport. They want more. It used to be when I was growing up that, you know, we would go sit down in the grandstands at a racetrack and we watch a 500-mile race and be happy with that. But what we're finding is that the taste and the expectation of the fan is changing. And what NASCAR is doing is trying to be proactive, not only changing the format now, but also for years to come. And what NASCAR feels is this format change will suit the legacy fan, but it'll also suit the newer fan. Now, that's a fine line to walk, because more times than not, when you try to cater to two parties, one party ends up feeling left behind. I think we've got the best of both worlds with this enhancement that was announced yesterday.
No, and again, that's so key. I mean, Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, recently just said, look, millennials have a hard time following an NBA game in the final 2 minutes due to constant replays and the amount of timeouts that coaches have. But then again, you have the classic basketball fan, you know, the term old man football, who says, hey, wait a second, you know, why do we have to mess with things? So again, I think you're absolutely right. You are walking a fine line anytime you change anything, to do with a sport that has such a fine tradition.
You're absolutely right. And the thing is that, to your point about the NBA, I mean, sometimes it takes 20 minutes to play the last minute and a half.
Right.
Trying to speed that up. The NFL has moved, you know, the point after attempt. It's changed its overtime rules. It's tweaking its format. If you look across all sports, every league and sanctioning body is making adjustments to the way they carry out the event. And a lot of times the changes are based on what the ticket buyer, what the viewer, what the listener is all looking for, and that's changed over the last 5 or 10 years. So as we institute these format changes, the hope is that it'll increase the competition on the racetrack. You know, if you want those points, if you want those playoff points, if you want those extra points to the season tally, you got to go get them. Well, the only way to get them is race for them. And I think that if that's the case, if these drivers really want these points, which who wouldn't, you get up on that wheel earlier, and that will in turn create a better competition or a better experience on the racetrack, which will then ultimately increase attention and get people more listening, or people listening more to our races, watching more, and even coming to the racetrack more.
Again, our guest right now is Mike Bagley. He's the host of NASCAR Live, which, of course, airs here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Also a turn-in booth announcer for the Motor Racing Network. Mike, now that we're about a month away from Daytona, outside of the format change that we just talked about, what's been the most interesting storyline for you to follow?
Well, I mean, you have a lot. You have, obviously, Monster coming in. That was announced over Champions Week out in Las Vegas. You got a brand new sponsor that's not afraid to shake things up, do things a little differently. While they didn't have anything really to say about the format change, they are going to change the experience at the track. They have that edgy feel. You got the title sponsor of the Premier Series changing. Then, when you trickle down into the teams, you've got Stewart Haas Racing that's going to Ford. You got Jimmy Johnson and Team Hendrick that are going for the 8th Cup Championship. You've got a lot of different things. You got Clint Bowyer now with Stewart Haas. He's making moves. You got drivers moving. You got team personnel moving. You got a brand new entitlement sponsor for the Cup Series. Plus, you've also got a guy that can make history and do something no one else has ever done before, and that's win 8 titles in this sport. So you've got a lot of things to cover, and we're just talking about Cup. We've not gotten to the Xfinity Series or the Camping World Truck Series. You got new drivers coming in, Daniel Suarez on the heels of Carl Edwards' sudden and abrupt departure from the number 19 car. So you got new faces in new places. You've got old faces trying to accomplish new things, better things, and set new records. Plus, you've got a new entitlement sponsor leading it all. When we hit Daytona, we're going to hit the ground running, and we will have no shortages of things to talk about.
No, definitely not. And one of the names that you did not bring up, which for me has been a really interesting storyline to follow for quite some time, is Dale Earnhardt Jr. and how he returns to the track based off everything that happened last season. Obviously, that's going to take a lot of the spotlight away from other drivers, specifically in the early portion of the season, right?
It will. It'll occupy some conversation. There's no doubt about that. It's good to have him back. Glad that he came back. And I talked to Dale yesterday. He feels fine. He's ready to go. He is chomping at the bit to get in the race car. And, of course, you know, you mentioned Dale Jr. He's coming off of injury. He sat out virtually the last half of the season. Well, he's back in the car. Can they get chemistry reestablished? Can the 88 car make its way back to the front and stay there enough for Dale to make the chase and be a championship threat when we get to Miami at the end of the season?
Again, Mike Bagley, host of NASCAR Live. Mike, it was a pleasure to get you on the show today. Before I let you go, I want to get your ultimate assessment on the rule changes, the format changes that NASCAR announced yesterday.
I think it's going to do nothing but make it better. I think it's going to give increased visibility. I think the fans will be more energized. While we are humans and while we don't like change at the same time, change is good. It also produces an unknown, and this should keep everybody guessing on the edge of their seats all season long. We're going to be on the edge of ours, and I think that this is nothing but good. I can't wait to see this in play. Our first dose will be Daytona, and then, of course, we're off to Atlanta and Las Vegas, and we start the season. And I want to see how this takes place. I want to see if the drivers get up on the wheel and respond with risk versus the reward that's laying out there with these bonus points. On paper, this is a fantastic idea. I want to see it executed. Probably after about the third or fourth race, we'll have an idea of what we're working with and how willing these drivers and teams are to take chances to try to get as much as they can to get good footing in the championship race.
Mike, again, such a pleasure to get you on the show. I really appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you on NASCAR Live next hour.
Thank you, sir. We look forward to it. Anytime. Pick up the phone and give us a call.
Again, Mike Bagley, host of the Motor Racing Network's NASCAR Live, which airs at 5 p.m. right here on KOL every Tuesday. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right after this.
Hi, I'm JC Ibanez, insurance agent with Tatton & Meller. Coaches often have to answer tough questions following a win or loss. Here at Tatton & Meller Insurance, my job is to answer the tough questions so you know what you are insured for and why. There's nothing more frustrating than believing you are covered for a specific claim only to find out that you're not. At Tatton & Meller Insurance, we offer free insurance reviews of your current plan to make sure you're in the right coverage when the game of life is on the line. Call me today for your free review at 435-637-LIFE.
In 1981, Drew Leroy opened the original 3,000-square-foot food ranch. Today, Food Ranch has grown to over 21,000 square feet, along with a full hot deli, bakery, meat shop, and racquetball court. But the area Drew is most proud of is the Spartan's Den. This is where the kids from Emory High can hang out and have lunch or just sit and talk. This just reinforces Drew's commitment to the families of Emory County. Food Ranch would like to thank you for your continued support for years to come.
Emory Telecom's new eFiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emory Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with eFiber. Let Emory Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
Celebrate your sweetheart this February with Desert View Federal Credit Union. During the month meant for sweethearts, you can finance your new vehicle with a sweet 2.75% rate OAC. Call 687-2472 to talk to a loan officer today and get pre-approval. Then go pick out your new car, truck, or SUV.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
At Desert View, it's all about you.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, counting down the days to Super Bowl 51, and of course you'll be able to follow all the live coverage and the game right here on KOAL. Live coverage is going to begin on Sunday at 12 p.m. Kickoff should be somewhere around 3 p.m. To help us gear up for this weekend's game, we are joined by Daniel Graham. He played tight end in the NFL, won two Super Bowl rings with the New England Patriots, winning Super Bowl 38 and 39. He was actually a first-round selection by the Patriots back in 2002. He also spent time with the Denver Broncos, Tennessee Titans, and New Orleans Saints. Daniel, it's a pleasure to get you on the show today. I really appreciate you making time for us to share some stories.
Oh, appreciate it. No problem.
Daniel, let's start by talking about your career. I mean, all in all, you got to play with some terrific quarterbacks over the course of your career. What was your time like when you played with the Patriots?
You know, it was a good time. When I got to New England, that was the first time I really learned football. Demand so much out of the players, and You know, I got to learn how to be a professional up there.
Yeah, they say a lot of the players I've talked to that have played with with the Patriots and with other organizations have said it's just a different atmosphere. It's a different mentality. I mean, is that true? You played for some other franchises, and how does it differ from those other franchises, if it does?
You know, it is. There's a big difference, you know, playing in New England. And, you know, for me being drafted by the Patriots, I thought that this is how the NFL, how the entire NFL was, you know, ran. Everyone ran their organization. And when I left there and came to Denver, that's when I realized that, you know, there's a big difference with, you know, the Patriots and, you know, other organizations, even with the other two that I played after Denver in Tennessee and New Orleans. You know, it was a big difference. And I saw why the Patriots are always, you know, in the playoffs, are always in the run for the Super Bowl every year.
I was going to ask you about that. Why? I mean, what sets them apart from some of the other franchises from a player's perspective?
You know, the biggest thing is just the preparation. You know, we in New England, you know, prepared more than anybody else. And like I said, I didn't realize that until I left New England. But there, you know, just the attention to detail, you know, everything that we did during practice, you know, showed up on Sunday as if we, you know, saw it. We already saw it. And, you know, that just helped us, you know, go out and win on Sundays.
In that regard, is it the same with Tom Brady? I mean, you played again with Jay Cutler. I know you played with the Titans. You played with the Saints. You got to see Drew Brees up close as well. What sets Tom Brady apart from the other quarterbacks in the league? Is it a system or is it his preparation?
You know, it's the system and the preparation. You know, Tom is prepared, and he does his part as a quarterback, just like every other position, every other player in the New England organization. You know, it's just preparation. And you know, I tell you what, I was fortunate 1 year to play with Drew Brees, and I saw his preparation. His preparation was second to none, and that's, you know, what's made him a great quarterback in this league.
With that being said, I got to ask you, are you surprised that the New England Patriot dynasty has lasted this long? I mean, you won a Super Bowl with this team going all the way back to Super Bowl 38. Here we are now, Super Bowl 51, and we're talking about the Patriots once again with Tom Brady as their quarterback playing for another title. Does that surprise you at all?
You know, it doesn't surprise me at all. And that's, you know, because I've played in the organization. I understand, you know, what they do every week, you know, just to get ready for each game each Sunday. And you know, so it doesn't surprise me at all. I know it surprises a lot of people who aren't familiar with the organization, but, you know, just playing there, I understand why they're there every year.
How much does the owner play into consistently winning, consistently performing at a high level? I mean, we talk about owners a lot. It seems like the only time we talk about an owner is when something is going wrong with an organization, yet Robert Kraft has really found a pillar of consistency in New England. How much of that plays into the fact that this team has been successful stemming all the way back to 2000?
Yeah, you know, it plays a lot. You know, and if you have an owner that can get the right coach in there and let the coach run his system like Mr. Kraft has done, you know, it shows for itself. You know, I mean, look at other organizations and other owners want to be so involved and stuff. And, you know, it just shows, you know, that, you know, they can't do everything, you know, to help that team be successful.
Again, our guest right now is Daniel Graham, former NFL tight end, played with the New England Patriots, won a couple of Super Bowls with the Patriots before finishing his career with the Broncos, Titans, and Saints. Daniel, I want to talk about your two Super Bowl victories. You were involved in two classic Super Bowls, two Super Bowls that came down to the final play and three-point wins for the Patriots.
You know what? I tell you what, that first Super Bowl for me was just unbelievable feeling. You know, I was, like you said, I was drafted in 2002, the year after the Patriots won the first Super Bowl, and I was at that ring ceremony. As much as I didn't want to be there because I wasn't part of it, you know, my feeling was, you know, it's just so hard to get here. And, you know, at the time, I'm like, if I don't ever make it to the Super Bowl and win one, I don't want to be this, you know, to have this to be my experience, seeing the rest of the guys get the ring when I wasn't part of it. And so, you know, after winning that first Super Bowl, it was, you know, unbelievable feeling, especially, you know, with my father playing in the NFL for 7 years and never making it to the playoffs. It was just exciting, you know, exciting for him, you know, to see me win. And you know what, I tell you, after when I won the second one, it was almost like being spoiled, you know, like we expected to win this one. And so it wasn't as great as a feeling as the first one, but I'm, you know, blessed just to have two Super Bowl rings.
What do you remember most about the first game against Carolina, in which you guys win by 3 points? Is there a specific moment in that Super Bowl that stands out to you?
You know what, I tell you, after we scored a touchdown, you know, it was, or after we kicked the field goal, I think it might have been a minute or so left, and I was just thinking, like, you know, this game is far from over, because the second half was totally different from the first half, and you know, their offense was clicking in that second half, and I'm just like, it's too much time left, you know, so you can't celebrate yet when we kick that field goal, but once the clock is zero, you know, it was just unbelievable feeling.
How about the game against the Eagles? I mean, I remember that one a little bit, just thinking back off of the top of my head. That was a pretty potent team. You guys go toe-to-toe with Donovan McNabb. Of course, Terrell Owens was a big storyline leading up to that Super Bowl on if he would play with the injury. And he did. And again, I mean, it was a classic one. You guys were involved in a game that went down to the wire.
You know, it was. And it was just, it was amazing to watch Terrell Owens perform after, you know, being injured the entire season. And, you know, the one thing that stands out is it was just amazing that, you know, the last drive, the Eagles weren't in that two-minute offensive mode, and it just surprised all of us. You know, we're like, do they understand how much time is left in the situation? And, you know, that was just amazing to see that, you know, they just weren't prepared for that situation.
What is it like to be on the sidelines as an offensive player with the game in the hands of your defense? I mean, that's got to be nerve-wracking as can be as well, right, late in the game?
You know, it's nerve-wracking, you know, but with the defense that we had, I mean, we knew that we can, you know, especially with knowing the Eagles had to go the entire distance down the field, we knew that we can get a stop with that defense that we had.
As far as going back and looking at your time in New England, is there an individual player that had the biggest impact on you as a player that was involved in your growth? Because, I mean, statistically, looking at your career, I believe your two most outstanding seasons that you had, based on production, was the 2 years you guys won the Super Bowl.
You know, I tell you, I remember my rookie year in New England, and Coach Belichick came to me and said, you know, if I can block Willie McGinnis and Mike Vrabel, I could block anybody in this league. And, you know, on that note, you know, the Patriots are the one that's labeled me a blocking tight end. I don't consider myself a blocking tight end, but a all-around tight end. But, you know, as far as that aspect of the game, being a blocking tight end, learning from those guys, you know, Willie was just a big guy, so I learned how to block bigger guys. And Mike Vrabel was so good at getting my hands off of him, I learned how to, that's where I say I learned how to hold. And those two guys really helped my career as far as the blocking level of, you know, my game, go to the top of the, you know, league as far as being a blocking tight end.
The media members, they see Bill Belichick in a light where he's very quiet, very soft-spoken, right to the point, sometimes gives us a snarky answer, which is hilarious as far as, you know, preparation leading up for the week. Is that Bill Belichick behind closed doors with the team as well?
Yeah, it is, you know, and he has a dry sense of humor. You know, Coach Belichick is all about business, and he expects and demands so much of the team. And, you know, the one thing that I admire most about Coach Belichick is that he's fair from Tom Brady to the last person on that roster. You know, it doesn't care who you are, what you make. Everyone is treated equal, and I love that about him.
Again, our guest right now is Daniel Graham, former tight end for the New England Patriots, won two Super Bowls back in Super Bowl 38 and 39. Daniel, when your time with New England comes to a close, you moved on, you played for the Denver Broncos. Now, you mentioned your father, who also played in the NFL. He played professionally for the Denver Broncos as well. Did that play in your decision to move on and join the Broncos?
You know, it played a little bit. You know, the biggest decision for me, my daughter was back here in Denver, and I wanted to be close to her, and so that was the number one reason. You know, after that, you know, just growing up, loving the Broncos, being a Bronco fan, knowing my father played here, knowing everyone who saw me play in high school, saw me play in college, can now see me play at the professional level, and, you know, it was just fun to come home and put on that helmet that I grew up, you know, for the team that I grew up loving and watching. And, you know, it's very rare that people get to play for the team that they grew up, you know, watching, you know, play for that team.
That first year you're in Denver, if I remember right, the team finished below 500. I want to say they were 7-9, if I can remember correctly. How frustrating was that for you as an individual player?
You know, it was frustrating, you know, just leaving New England and just seeing the professionalism on that team, that organization. When I got to Denver, you know, it was some players there, you know, that really didn't have that professionalism and, you know, go out and be a professional. And that was difficult, you know. And I say, you know, I couldn't, you know, didn't want to take anything for granted. I learned you can't take anything for granted because I never went to the playoffs again after I left New England.
You did get a play for Josh McDaniels in Denver. What was the difference, at least in your mind, between Josh McDaniels in New England? I know he's back there right now and as a head coach. I mean, could you tell a difference between Josh McDaniels, and do you believe that he's grown enough to where we can see him in the head coaching position again in the future?
You know, Josh was the same when he got to Denver as he was when I was there in New England and as he is now in New England. You know, I mean, he just demands and, you know, expects so much out of the players. And, you know, he tried to bring that Patriot mentality, that professionalism to Denver. You know, it didn't work for him there, but I guarantee he will be a great head coach sometime. You know, he's a great coach.
Was it experience or I guess you could say his youthness? I mean, was that a problem for Josh McDaniels in Denver? What went wrong there?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it was a problem. You know, I think in my opinion, the biggest issue was that you go, you know, with what Josh demands, you know, and just how the Patriots are. You know, he brought that to Denver. The guys weren't used to that. And, you know, it was they weren't used to putting in so much work and the demand and stuff. And, you know, you got prima donnas on the team who, you know, couldn't take that. And, you know, I think that was the biggest issue. Everyone, the whole team, did not feed into what Josh was trying to bring to the Broncos.
And again, I'm sure that was just a complete frustration for you as a player coming from someplace in New England where they did demand excellence out of themselves all the way around. It was more of a cohesive unit is what it sounds like.
You know, it was. And it's, you know, other than that, you know, I mean, I enjoyed my time here in Denver. I got to play with some, you know, great guys and stuff. And, although I didn't make it to the playoffs, didn't have a chance, you know, to win a title here in Denver, you know, I still enjoy my time here.
Well, let's move on and talk about Super Bowl 51. I'm sure that as being a Patriot alum, I'm sure you're extremely excited for this particular game. What stands out to you in this matchup?
Well, you know, I tell you what stands out is just the weapons that the Falcons have. And, you know, I think the biggest challenge is going to be for the Patriot defense to slow this offense down. You know, they have so many weapons, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what Coach Belichick, you know, what, you know, the defense, what they put together to stop this offense.
It's been a very long time, at least in my mind. I mean, I love Julio Jones. It's been a long time since we've had a player this dynamic on the outside in the Super Bowl. And we talked about Terrell Owens a little bit earlier on in the interview. There's some similarities as far as the explosiveness and how you always have to pay attention to where Julio Jones is out on the field, very similar to the way Owens was.
You know, you do. You have to, you know, see where he is at all times. And you know that, you know, everyone knows that he can catch a 5-yard pass and turn it into 60 or 70. And, you know, when someone like that, you know, you have to account for them on every play. And, you know, just, you know, the special player that he is, even if he doesn't touch the ball, it opens up the rest of the offense. And, you know, and I think that's what really gets that offense going.
Daniel, I'm not a big guy on legacy talk. In fact, I hate it. Rarely talk about it here on the show. But of course, every time Tom Brady is in a Super Bowl, people start talking about legacy. Has there ever been a better quarterback in the NFL in your eyes? And if there has been, could another Super Bowl win, getting number 5, does that put him over the top?
Well, you know, I already think he is the best quarterback. You know, if you look at, you know, I understand, you know, the quarterbacks in the past, you know, there were great quarterbacks, Joe Montana, and, you know, Terry Bradshaw, which a lot of people don't even talk about as far as the ring counts go. But one thing that separates, you know, Tom from the rest of these quarterbacks is that, you know, back when Joe Montana played, these guys were on the team 5-6 years. They didn't leave, you know. Every year it might be a new team for Tom, and he's doing this with guys that nobody's even heard of. You know, it's a new team for him, it seems like, every year. And so for him to be that consistent, you know, no matter who's on the field, to take, you know, the team back to the Super Bowl, you know, it just sets itself apart.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. It's definitely been fun to watch, to say the least. Before I let you go, I can't let you leave without giving us a prediction. How does the Super Bowl play out?
Well, you know, of course, the Patriots are going to win. And I tell you what, I think it's going to be about 35-24 Patriots.
I've said all week I like the Patriots to win by two scores. I know the spread right now has them at three, but I like them to win by double digits. I mean, really, when you take a look at the Falcons, yes, Vic Beasley has been fantastic. The pass rush has picked up, but there's a big difference between New England's front five compared to Green Bay and Seattle. Huge difference in that regard.
You know, it's a big difference. And like I say, I think the biggest matchup, in my opinion, of this game is the Patriot defense versus the Atlanta Falcons offense. I don't think the Patriots are going to have an issue scoring on their defense.
Yeah, I agree with you, definitely. Daniel Graham, again, former tight end for the New England Patriots, also played for the Broncos, Titans, and the Saints. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for sharing some of the memories and giving us some of your insight in Super Bowl 51. It was definitely a pleasure to get you on today.
Thank you. No problem. Take care.
Definitely a pleasure. That's two-time Super Bowl champion Daniel Graham giving us some insight on Super Bowl 51 this weekend, also sharing some stories about his time with the New England Patriots. Now, that was a blast to get some insight and hear some of the stories from his playing days. Daniel Graham, two-time Super Bowl champ, joining us on the show. We've got a break for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Did you know that Castleview Physical Therapy is so much more than just a therapy clinic? Castleview Physical Therapy also offers massage therapy, personalized fitness programs from an experienced personal trainer, and other exercise classes. You can even get a monthly membership and take advantage of their new state-of-the-art exercise equipment and work out when it's convenient for you. If you're looking to improve your overall health and well-being, go visit them at Castleview Physical Therapy, located in the Jeff Manley Wellness Center next to the hospital.
The reviews are in, and it's official. Big Mo's Eatery and Bakery makes the best Reuben sandwich around. Pastrami, Swiss cheese, sauerkraut, and their delicious Thousand Island dressing. Mmm. And served with your choice of homemade pasta, potato salad, or a bag of chips. And don't forget your choice of one of their yummy homemade cookies. Big Mo's uses only the freshest ingredients, and your meal is made to order. It's not fast food. It's fresh food. Find them on 700 East in Price, or call in your orders at 636-0451.
Every time I walk through the doors at Big Don's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Don's pizza. You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Don's, located at 170 West, 100 South.
Being a sports fan can be painful. Whether you are participating in a sport or cheering on your favorite team, your chance of injury is higher. Local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Kelly Jensen and Dr. Scott Justison encourage all you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport, or if you're a passionate fan, you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Jensen or Dr. Justison.
I enjoy taking care of others. I just want a stable career. If this sounds like you, then USU Eastern's Medical Assistant Program might be the right path for you. This program prepares and trains individuals for a career in healthcare, in offices, or other medical settings in both the administrative and clinical procedures. The Medical Assistant Program is a certification program that can be completed in 1 year. USU Eastern has the lowest tuition in the state and many financial aid options available. For more information, call 613-5000. USU Eastern. Take on new heights.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're going to talk wrestling on this edition of the Coach's Corner. Talk Carbon High basketball yesterday. Today, Carbon High wrestling. And then over the next couple of days, we're going to mix it up between wrestling and basketball. It's a very busy time in the high school sports scene, and then not too far off is the spring sports season. Wrestling came to a close this past weekend for both Emory and Carbon.
And the Carbon Dinos had two individuals place, Casey Shiner and also A.J. Adams. And joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about that, we have first-year head coach Brock Fawcett. Coach, always fun to get you on. Great to hear from you. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Definitely, Coach. You guys wrap up the 2016-2017 season, the first under your instruction at Carbon High School. It was a fun year, no doubt about it. You guys did have five kids go into day two of the state tournament, and you and I were talking off of the cuff. That's quite the accomplishment, something that hasn't happened at Carbon High for a while.
Yeah, I know we've qualified. I think we qualified the same number of kids last year. But to win two matches to continue on hasn't happened in a large number for quite a while. So that was an accomplishment. Of course, would have liked to have placed more in that medal round, which was the first round of that second day. But only two matches fell our way out of the five. So tough matches, though. I think we had a combined loss of those five matches of the three that we lost by, I think, four points. So that was tough. But that's the way the sport is. You win some, you lose some, and matchups sometimes go your way, sometimes they don't, just based on how things happen during that 6 minutes. So that's a good thing for those young kids to learn. All those kids, with the exception of AJ, still have a year or years to wrestle. So that was exciting to know that.
Well, we can start by talking about AJ. He did get into the fifth place match. Unfortunately, that was a setback for him, but he did pick up a couple of victories, finished 3-3 at the state tournament. So not a bad way to end his Carbon wrestling career.
No, considering where AJ's come from, that was probably the highlight of the season for me as his coach, because he is such a hard worker. He does things his way. Which was sometimes pretty frustrating for the coaches and I, because he did things a little differently at times, but he was successful there at the end. And AJ wrestled a lot of years without even a victory when he was younger, and he really put his heart and soul into the sport. And to see him come away as a state placer was awesome. So I was so proud of him to get that. Medal round win for him was awesome, and it made up for the previous losses that day for me in terms of bouncing back and feeling good about the tournament and about the boys and their work ethic and hard work that they put so much effort into.
Let's talk about Casey Shiner. Here's the kid that finishes fourth place for you. And look, this is a tough road for Casey because he loses his first match. So he wrestled a lot in a very short period of time and manages to bounce back and grab a fourth place finish.
Yeah, that's the longest way to place when you drop your first one, because you immediately drop into that lower console bracket. And it's really every match has been make or break. And so he really rose to the occasion. Wrestled some of his best matches of his career thus far, including, I think, his best match by far this year, and probably his career, in my opinion, with the consolation semifinal or quarter placement quarterfinal, I guess you could call it, with a kid from Ridgeline who Connor had lost earlier to. Tough kid, very offensive, very willing to attack. But Casey, knowing his attack is so much better, we coached him up and got him to attack more often, and that made a huge difference in that match, and he came away, I think, a 10-3 bout. So very cool. I was super excited for him to get that. I thought we'd really have a crack at beating the Union kid, who he had lost to earlier in the season as well. We were on our way, but got caught there at the last, and unfortunately that didn't go his way. But to come away with the fourth, coming from fifth last year, that's an improvement for Casey by far. And next year it's for the gold. So I know he knows that, and he's excited to attempt that and get it done. So yeah.
You mentioned he took the same route last year as well, losing that first match and then having a battle all the way back. So we got to make sure Casey wins that first match this next year.
Yeah, we got to get him coming out a little bit more go-getter, not as flat. With this year, it was interesting because we'd never seen the kid that he'd wrestled that first round, a kid from Bear River, a big, tall, lanky kid. And those are kids that Casey struggles with. I thought, based on his performance with Connor
who he wrestles in the room every day, also a long, lanky kid, that we could get the win. But we just couldn't secure a takedown in that. Or actually, we got one, but we couldn't secure a couple more that he had tried to win that match. But nonetheless, you know, that's the beauty of the sport, and it really does help you dictate who you are by how you perform that second round after a loss. And he definitely rose to the occasion and hammered out the necessary victories to place high on the podium. So very proud of him.
Caden Lee goes 2-2, so does Connor Fawcett, and also Caden Gibson. So how would you assess these kids' performance, Coach, winning two and losing two?
A lot of missed opportunities on the loss, but nothing that can't be fixed in years to come. Very proud of their performances in terms of not dealing with the stress, you know, so much that it affect them, just minor mistakes. One thing that hurt us, I think, was that second round specifically. We lost kind of our theme for that tournament, and that was we needed to attack and score offensively on our feet. We lost some key takedowns in the first period that decided the match. You know, we won periods, but we often didn't win the first period, and that hurt us. But, you know, I couldn't be more proud of the fact that they were able to go into that second day, and they were super excited and super willing to take risks in places where they know they had to. We had coached them on some moves which we call desperation tactics in wrestling, you know, where you're down and you got to go for broke, so to speak. And we had all those kids attempt those things. Unfortunately, not all of them worked, but that was good to have them understand that they have to take risks. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but at least they know that those risks are there, those moves are there if they need them in the future. So very proud, very excited for next year. I continually told those boys that were there, as well as all those boys that finished the season with us, that they are the backbone of the future of the sport right now, and I'm happy to have them there because they're very stable, they're very their work ethic is great. You know, whatever you throw at them, they come back smiling, and what else, coach? Let's do it again. And that's the kind of kids and athletes we need at Carbon High and our wrestling team, because they're going to set the tone for next year. And anyone who can't keep up with them, which I'm sure there's going to be kids, you know, they're going to go to another sport, because we're going to build something great. And I know that the kids that stayed with us are already ready to be a part of that. So,
again, our guest right now is Coach Brock Fawcett of the Carbondale Wrestling Squad. Coach, your first year now in the books as head coach, back again at Carbon High School. You mentioned building something special, and it's something that doesn't happen overnight. You know, the old saying, a program didn't get into a mess overnight, they're not going to get out of it overnight. Coach Woodhouse, I thought, did a great job of taking Carbon from where they were at, elevating them just a tad bit, taking them up a couple of notches. Coach Huntsman filled in last year. Again, you talked about how many kids qualified last year, the same as this year. Now you're here to make sure that Carbon goes over the top. And sometimes that can be more difficult than taking a program from where, you know, Carbon High School once was to where they're at today. What are some of the things that you have to do to make sure that this program goes over the top?
Well, I think number one, they got to realize that inherently it's tough already, and wrestling's tough. We started with a lot of kids, and I think they knew it was tough. I just didn't think they realized how tough it could be, and so we lost kids. So I've talked to the coaching staff a lot, and we're gonna ramp it up right at the beginning next year, and you know, call it a refiner's fire, if you will, where kids will learn right away whether or not this is their sport. I was tickled that we had depth, which we haven't had in a long time, which was good to have this year. But sometimes that depth holds you back in the case where kids aren't willing to work and finish. You know, we need finishers in the sport. And we're going to go find those finishers and take them. And that's what's going to make, I believe, the difference in turning the corner in the program. Got a lot of things planned for the summer. Got two camps that the kids are on board with that we'll be attending, as well as we're starting some freestyle which is a different style of wrestling, starting mid-March with kids to kind of get them up on their offensive game with the sport. Teaches a little bit different scoring than folk style, but it'll help them offensively to score where we were lacking this year. Plus, I'm just, like I said earlier, excited for this group of kids who finished the season and who know what it's going to take work ethic-wise to make it again next year in the postseason and even elsewhere if they so choose with the sport. So it was a learning year. I'm grateful for those kids that I had and for what they taught me, and I'm super excited because we're not losing many. Well, actually, we're only losing one, and that was AJ, and he left a very indelible mark about, you know, finding what works for you and using it that we'll use that he shared with others on the team. So, yeah, I mean, super excited. The coaching staff looks to be the same. We're already planning. You know, that bus ride home is bittersweet because you're anxious or you're excited for the boys to have some time off and be able to eat their junk food and relax a little bit. But at the same time, you're already missing it, and you're looking forward to next year. And we're definitely already in the planning stages and have some things in store.
We'll end with this, Coach. The hot topic has been the realignment, obviously, over the past year. How does the new 3A classification affect Carbon? And if so, do you view it as a benefit?
You know, everyone says, well, I feel so bad for you because you look at our realignment. The number one team in 2A, Delta, is in our region. And the number one team this year in 3A, Juab, is still in our region. And then we have a tough Union team who placed in the top 10 in our region as well. But you know what? You rise to the level of your competition. And it's been that way a long time. When I first started coaching, we always had the toughest. When I was wrestling, we always had the toughest region. Whoever won our region won state. And that's a good thing because our kids are going to get, going to know what's ahead of them right away. I think this year it hurt us a little bit because we went to some tournaments where, I shouldn't say it hurt us, but it didn't help us as much as I thought it would, where we went to some tournaments where kids had immediate success, and they realized it maybe wasn't as tough as they thought. And then when I took the kids to tournament champions this year, their eyes were really opened. And that's where the Refiner's Fire took place this year, is where I saw those kids really say, hey, I'm sticking with this even though I got beat up. And those others that that got beat up said, no more for me. And this year we're going to introduce them because of our region to just how tough it is and how tough the competition is. And we'll have them ready and keep them working because I know that that'll make a difference.
Coach, it's been fun to follow the kids all year long and talk with you periodically throughout the season. I really do appreciate it. Congratulations on completing your first year at Carbon, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Jordan. I appreciate your support and the support of the community. You know, a lot of good wrestling fans out there in our area, and one thing we have going in the future is we have some wrestling dads. And I couldn't be more excited for that. I mean, I have my teammates, some of my former teammates, some of the kids that I even coached and Dave coached are out there, and they're having children and putting them in the program, and they're the motivators a lot of cases, and that's going to make a huge difference for the future of the sport. So thank you again.
My pleasure, Coach. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Listen to Drive Time Sports weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m. KOAL.
KOAL. Price, Utah.